welcome to Heartbeat. It's great to have you with us. My name is Emma and I'm here to share with you today. Today I want to talk about how do we live with our burdens as a Christian? How do we approach our burdens? You know, you may have heard of the phrase taking up your cross or to take up your cross. It's a phrase that many of us may have heard. And often, obviously, as we know, as we approach Good Friday, we know that Jesus took up his cross as he walked to Golgotha, as he walked to his execution, where he would die for us, for our sins once and for all. And we are asked to take up our cross. But what does that mean? And how do I do that? You know, we first see it in the book of Luke, in chapter 9, verses 21 to 23. And it's where Jesus talks about his death and his resurrection. And he says this, "He sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone, saying, 'The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised.' Then he said to them all, 'If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me.'" And that's where we see this phrase, take up their cross daily, where we are asked if we want to be a follower of Christ, if we want to be a Christian, then we need to take up our cross daily and follow him. So what is our cross? Well, for each one of us, our cross will be different. And as you go through life, I think I certainly have become to realize, and I'm sure you probably have too, that it's not usually just one cross. There are many. And our cross are burdens in our lives, pain, suffering that we each have. And all of us have a cross. All of us have one. No one goes without. For many of us, some of these will be physical crosses. And a lot of us, they're emotional crosses, emotional burdens that we all carry. We know in life, unfortunately, that we will have pain, that we will suffer, that there will be hardship. Our world is not perfect. We are not perfect. This side of heaven, there are so many hardships and there are so many burdens that we have that we will never understand why. We won't understand why, but it is a reality. Our faith, it doesn't promise that our life will be struggle-free, but our faith does promise that it will give you the strength to endure your struggles and it will give you the courage to carry your cross. Our faith promises that. For many of us, the crosses that we bear and the burdens that we have are not a result of sin. Even Jesus, the sinless, suffered. But the cross is often where we meet God, where we are caused to be vulnerable before God, and it allows us to open up more to God's grace in our lives. And if we want to become like Christ, if we choose to live as a Christian, then we are asked to take up our cross and follow him. And I think to take up your cross means a few things. I think it means living in your circumstances and asking God to come and be in that. I think it means living in your circumstances and asking God to make a way, to break through in your circumstances. And I think it means to live in your circumstances and allow God to transform your heart through them to be more like him. In carrying our cross, there can be pain, but from it, there can be beauty. Taking up our cross means allowing God to transform our hearts in it. Now, I want to share with you a little bit about my story and how I believe that the cross that I have to bear, God has been able to transform my heart to be more like him. Now, 15 years ago, I was pregnant with my daughter and I just finished university and I was 26 weeks pregnant and I just finished a law degree, and knowing that I wasn't going to be working the next year because I was about to have a baby, thought that's fine. I'll do some postgrad study. I'll get the last bits of my next bit that I have to do to qualify to be finished and I'll do that. Then I'll have the baby and then I'll start working. Like, you know, the plan was all sorted. I had it planned in my head. But then it got to 35 weeks pregnant, you know, a few weeks into my postgrad studies. And I went to the doctor one day and the doctor said to me, Emma, you're a bit small. The baby seems a bit small. Why don't we just go have a few extra tests? And we went for these extra tests. And I went to this ultrasound one day And the doctor said to me, I was all by myself. I think my sister came with me because my husband was away working. So I was there with my sister. And the doctor's with me in the ultrasound. And she does the ultrasound and she says to me, you know, most people I can say to them, everything's okay. But I can't say that for you. You know, I'm not really sure what it is, but your baby's head seems maybe a little bit small. And it looks like one side of the heart is a little bit smaller than the other side. So something just doesn't seem right. So the best thing that we can do is to have this baby. So that way we have the baby, and then once the baby's out, then we can see what do we need to do. So we did. We had the baby 2 weeks later. We brought her on a little bit early, and my beautiful daughter Hannah was born. And during the labor, you know, her heart rate kept dropping, so we had to just monitor it. But, you know, we had her fine. And then we have the baby, and she gets taken down to the special needs nursery, and my husband goes with her. And he comes back to me and he goes, Emma, Hannah's been born with a cleft palate, which means she doesn't have the roof of her mouth. And knowing that that kind of runs in my family, I turned to my husband, Ronan, and I was like, oh, that's nothing. That's nothing. Like, you know, we can deal with that. That's nothing. And then I knew once, you know, we got told that news, that we just had to focus on the heart. Okay, let's see what her heart's like. And she did need to have heart surgery when she was 8 days old, just a few days later. So we got through the heart surgery, okay. So Neil's still at the children's hospital. And then a few weeks go by, 6 weeks go by. And the doctor calls us in one day because Hannah, she couldn't feed herself. She couldn't drink. So she had to drink through a nasogastric tube, so the tube into the nose, through to the stomach, and we'd have to feed her every day through that. And the doctor calls us into her room one day and says to us, you know, being able to feed yourself is a pretty serious and natural thing that we should be able to do. And it's pretty serious that Hannah can't do this. So it kind of indicates to us, the medical staff, that maybe Hannah's going to have a disability. And maybe if she ever got sick, you would just want to turn off the life support. And I remember hearing that and going like, whoa, you know, you kind of, your world changes when you hear that. And I didn't want to believe them. And, you know, eventually we got to take our daughter home, still with the tube to feed her like that. And eventually she did start to feed, you know, we had to help her a lot, but she did. But then she wasn't developing like all the other children, all the other babies around. And over time, we've discovered that she did have an intellectual disability, and she does have one. And so my next few years just were exhausting, focusing on physiotherapists, speech therapists, occupational therapists, all these new medical terms I never knew existed. She had to have heart surgery again when she was 3. She had her cleft palate surgery to repair that. So she's had a number of surgeries. And kind of my life was just therapies, doctors, and research. What can I research that will help Hannah to do everything she needs to do in life? What will help her walk and what will help her talk? And we get to 6 years of age, and it's the night before she's about to start year one. And my husband and I have chosen this school for her to go to that we think she'll get a lot of love at and care. But the night before she starts school, I had this doubt of, have we chosen the right school? Have we made the right choice? And I'm having this moment, and you know, I'm talking through with my husband, and I'm crying and crying. I'm like, you know, should we have sent her to the other school? What should we do? And we're crying. And in this conversation, all of a sudden I just come out and I just say to him, I just want her to walk and talk. And he stops me and he says, hey, Emma, we can't want that for her if that's not who she is. If that's not how she's made to be, if she's never going to achieve those things, that's okay, and we can't want that for her. He said, it's the same way as if you, or your parents rather, want you to be an amazing tennis player. But Emma, you can't play tennis. And that's very true, I can't play tennis. And he was using it as an example to say, you know, you wouldn't want your parents to ask you to be something that you're not. Why are you wanting Hannah to be something that maybe she's not? And I remember I got really upset and I started crying, and I turned to him and I was like, yeah, but my things are, my things are just normal things. My things are things that other people have. And I went away to my room and I cried for like 4 to 5 hours, the most I've ever cried in my life. And I just cried and cried, and I'd cried many times over these years, just, you know, crying out to God, God, why did you do this? Why did this happen? And I cried for these 4 or 5 hours on my bed. And the next morning, believe me, I looked fabulous. But I cried for these 4 or 5 hours. And then after about that time, I just felt this peace and what I believe was God's grace come upon me. And I'd been thinking about those words that my husband had said, like, Emma, we have to love Hannah for who she is. And I felt like at that point that God transformed my heart. And I already loved Hannah. Believe me, I already loved Hannah. But there was this depth of love that I had for Hannah that I'd never had before. And my life, which had been like, let's just get her to walk and then things will be good. Let's just get her to talk and then things will be good. It transformed my heart to be, no, God, I will love this child for who she is and how you love her. And the cross and the emotional burden that I have, that is always thinking about, what does Hannah need? What can I get for her? You know, who's going to care for her when I'm gone? All of these emotional burdens that, to be honest, are still there. They are all viewed in the light of God's love for her. And so my love for her now is not let's make her walk and talk, but what can we do for Hannah that will make her be the best Hannah that she can be? You know, this morning when I wake up, Hannah's sitting on our couch and she's turned on the TV to watch YouTube because she loves helicopters and planes and she loves fans. She loves anything that rotates. So now we do things in life that like, well, Hannah, they are the things you love. Let's do those things. And the burden of wanting the best for her and loving her so much, that's what the burden is, that you just want the best for her. You know, that's never going to go away. But my love for her has changed to be what I believe is more like a godly love, as God loves us. Now, before I had Hannah, I would have said that I was a kind and loving person. I would have said I was generous. I tried to be those things. But it wasn't until I had Hannah and I saw the challenges that she goes through that God has given me more love, more kindness for people, more generosity because of what he has done in me through watching Hannah's challenges and the things that Hannah goes through. Now, Hannah's 14 now, and we do a lot of therapy still. She still has a lot of care. She can walk now, actually, slowly, but she can. But she can't talk. Hannah will never talk. And I have peace with that. God has given me peace. That is who my beautiful daughter is. I don't need her to do those things to love her anymore. Not that I thought that that's what I was doing, but I feel like I was probably chasing the wrong things. You know, God has poured out his grace upon me in what I have gone through. He's transformed my heart to be more like him. And in showing me an insight into his love for her and what I believe for humanity, it gives me insight into the burden that God felt, the love that he felt for us when he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. He couldn't but help to send his son for us because he loved us so much. So with the burdens that we have to bear in our lives, God says to us, take up your cross and follow me. And I think the next part is the key part. It's not just take up your cross and live in your burdens and yes, God, I'm doing it, but it says, and follow me. And if you're following something, that means someone else is leading. So we need to, as we take up our cross, as we live in our circumstances, whatever they might be for you, we need to ask God to lead us in them, to transform our hearts, to give us ability that we didn't know we had to cope with our circumstances, to ask him to come and be with us. No, I have a friend who has 9 children, and once I said to her, oh, wow, you know, you have so many, how do you do it? And she stopped me and she said, no, Emma, I've been graced for this. And I truly believe that God has graced me to have Hannah. and he has graced me to love her and give her what she needs. And I believe whatever cross you have to bear, that God will grace you. Now, I'm not saying that Hannah is the cross. I love Hannah. If you meet Hannah, she's not a cross. She's pure joy and love. But it's the emotional burden that comes with caring for her, the physical burden sometimes that comes. That's often what I have to bear. Now, many of you, you won't have my story. You don't have a child with a disability. But you do have a cross. You do have burden. You do have pain and suffering that God wants you to take to Him, to bring with you and follow Him with it. Now, God wants every part of us. He doesn't want just the perfect good parts. God wants every part of us to come to Him and to love Him. God won't necessarily take away your burdens, but He will grace you to be able to live with them and to go with them in your life. He will give you the strength to live in them. So I encourage you as we head towards Good Friday, where Jesus carried His cross for you, where He died for you, that you would lay your burdens before the cross and ask Him to come and to give you that strength and to give you that grace as you live your everyday life. So let's pray, and I ask you right now, think about that. Think about what it is for you. I don't even need to give examples because I think you all know straight away in your mind what it would be for you. I can only share my story, but I know that you have your own story. So why don't you think about those things right now? And if you're in your room at home by yourself, why don't you just, after I say each sentence, why don't you just repeat this prayer in your head, or you might want to even say it out loud. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. God, You see me. God, You see the burdens I have to bear. You see my circumstance. Lord, You know every detail. I ask You right now to come and lead me as I take up my cross. Lord, show me Your love and pour out Your grace upon me. And Lord, give me Your strength. Lord, make me more like You. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.